You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint and your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse. Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What, look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Gets you 10% off. If you were able to stay awake for Joe Biden's speech last night, you noticed some things. Well, I sure noticed some things. I'm going to give you my five big takeaways from that. We're going to talk a little bit about Tim Scott. We got some great guests for you. It's going to be a great show on I'm Right.
We can actually, if you actually want to solve a problem, I've sent a bill to take a close look at it. We have to also have to get at the root problem of why people are fleeing, particularly to our southern border from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador.
Ted Cruz was all of us last night. Before I get into the specifics of my big takeaways from the Joe Biden, I understand it's not a State of the Union. I understand he was addressing a joint session of Congress, but I'm going to call it the State of the Union because everyone knows that's what it was, and it's, come on, what was it anyway? It was a bunch of blather. The specifics I'll get to in a second, but from a 30,000-foot view, here's what I thought. One, it was so boring. Ted Cruz is sitting there doing this. I'll tell you, I had to watch every minute of it because I had to react right here on the first afterwards. I had to react, and I was sitting there. I was pouring cups of coffee down my throat trying to stay awake. And it's not the President of the United States of America's job to entertain me, to entertain you. As I've said before, I don't care if he's a jerk. I don't care what he is. Go be a good president. Do good things. Smart foreign policy, smart, you know, local policy, do good things. So it's not his job to entertain me. But people do make this mistake in all walks of life where they think interesting doesn't matter. Actually, it does. Because you're the president of the United States of America. If you really want people to stay and listen while you speak, you had better be interesting or they're going to doze off. Otherwise, you have people like me and Senator Ted Cruz who have to be there, and we're dying. I geek out on politics, and I couldn't do it. So people in general didn't watch. Not as many of them watched, and the ones who were watching were suffering through it. It does matter. If I'm already tuning you out, it does matter. So that's one thing I took away. Another thing I took away, and we'll get to these specifics in a second, is he saved, if you noticed, if you were paying attention, he saved the really radical stuff till the end when most people are already tuning out. And everybody knows that. You're going to have your highest audience in the beginning of anything, of my show, a presidential speech, whatever it is. Most people are watching in the beginning, and it slowly goes down from there. Unless it's me, I'm sure it stays. I'm sure we don't lose a single viewer. But you understand that's how it works, and Joe Biden certainly knows how it works. I think that's why he put most of his Donald Trump stuff in the beginning. Joe Biden, I understand there were some differences, but sounded like Trump in the beginning. Buy American. We have to take on China. That kind of stuff. That bread and butter stuff that's going to appeal to most people. That's the stuff he put in the beginning. Well, that and this piece of insanity.
The worst pandemic in a century. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. The worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War.
Okay. Let's just get out in front of this thing right now. First of all, hold on. We'll get to the Civil War thing for a moment. The worst pandemic in a century, the worst economy since the Great Depression. I'm so sick of something I see out here, and I see it from the left, and I see it from the right. Maybe you've done it too. It's time for you to stop. I'm so tired of watching people say things like the pandemic caused these businesses to close. The pandemic caused this mental health crisis. This pandemic closed schools. The pandemic didn't do any of that. Nothing. The pandemic response did those things. The pandemic response. You are more than free to believe whatever you want to believe about lockdowns and social distancing and masks and all this. You can believe whatever you want to believe. That's fine. But one thing you most definitely have to understand, the pandemic response did those things. Those were a conscious choice. A choice. You can try to lie to yourself all day. We had no choice. Oh, yes, we did. We're not the first nation in the history of mankind to face a pandemic. We chose to go down that road. The pandemic response is what did all those things. Now, I want you to play it again, Mr. Producer. Play it again about this worst attack since the Civil War.
The worst pandemic in a century. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. The worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War.
What? You know, there are a lot of reasons I'm not a Democrat. I disagree with virtually every part of the platform. So that's one of the main reasons. I do enjoy how committed they are and how vicious they fight. So I like that part of them, to be honest with you. But one of the main reasons I'm not a Democrat is I hate dramatics. I hate everything being the end of the world. You know anybody like that in your life? Personal friend, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it may be. You ever known someone like that? Oh, we're all going to die. About everything underneath the sun. Oh, Susie just got sick. She's going to die. I can't do that. I can't be around people like that. I understand that's probably because I'm a sociopath. I never get too high, I never get too low. But they're so overdramatic about everything. That's so exhausting and ridiculous. And of course, it's not even close to true. I mean, I guess we forgot about 9/11, when 3,000 Americans died when terrorists are collapsing buildings in New York City. I guess we forgot about Pearl Harbor. I was like, Pearl Harbor didn't happen. Over 2,000 Americans died as battleships like the Arizona are going to the bottom of the ocean. That doesn't quite measure up in Joe Biden's mind to Ma and Pa wandering into the Capitol building unarmed on January 6th. Look, obviously January 6th was stupid. Yeah, and if you want to say ugly, of course it was. It wasn't anything like they make it out to be. And it's so exhausting hearing these teenage girl dramatics from the President of the United States of America on down to all of them. An insurrection! Oh, shut up. They were gone in a couple hours. Jeez. And look, part of the advantage of being part of the system, which the entire Democratic Party is, half the Republican Party is, corporations, education, athletes, entertainers, all part of the system now, the entire federal bureaucracy, all of it. They all speak with one voice now, all of them. And part of the advantage of that, part of the reason people choose to become part of the system is life is good and easy when you're part of the system. It's really, really hard when you're not part of the system. And when you have a system like we do, when you're part of the system, you can take nothing. You can take a complete lie, and the system itself will push it and push it and push it and push it and push it until half the population believes it's true. Joe Biden actually said this last night about white supremacy.
We have to remain vigilant against the threats to the United States wherever they come from. Al-Qaeda and ISIS are in Yemen, Syria, Somalia, other places in Africa, in the Middle East, and beyond. And we won't ignore what our intelligence agencies have determined to be the most lethal terrorist threat to the homeland today. White supremacy is terrorism. We're not going to ignore that either. My fellow Americans, look, we have to come together to heal the soul of this nation.
I love that. I love how he finishes that off. We have to take on white supremacy. It's more dangerous than Al-Qaeda. You've probably never met a white supremacist in your life. I've lived 39 years. I think maybe I've met one, maybe. And it's always some IQ of 75 loser. Or you turn on the television set, and it's some KKK rally, they'll call it, and it's five fat white guys standing on the courthouse steps surrounded by 20 cops because everybody, white and black, in the town is trying to beat the crap out of them. But in their minds, they think it exists. And remember that poll that came out? They think it's the number one problem facing the United States of America. That's how you know how powerful the system is. They've taken something that didn't exist at all, they invented it, and they now have presented it to the American people, and half of them believe we are in dire, dire trouble here. The white supremacists! And we're to say nothing of the fact that we have street communist groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter who've now spent a year looting, assaulting, murdering people across multiple cities in the United States of America. They announce on camera that they have no intention of stopping. Instead, they're announcing things like they haven't gone far enough. But all those evil... Look at the white supremacists in that video. They're just all over the place. Ooh, very, very scary. Very scary. Another thing from last night. This bizarre Democrat obsession with guns, this creepy obsession with guns.
They'll tell you that there are too many people today who are able to buy a gun but shouldn't be able to buy a gun. These kinds of reasonable reforms have overwhelming support from the American people, including many gun owners. The country supports reform, and Congress should act. This shouldn't be a red or blue issue. And no amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
Actually, they are. That's the whole point of of it being in the Constitution. They are absolute. That's the point. They're absolutely absolute. What is he talking about? And it's so creepy. I should note, tomorrow night, we are doing a special right here on the first on my show. I'm right. We're doing a special on guns. Biden and guns, Democrats and guns. I would make sure you're tuning in for that one, because we're going to dive into how creepy it is they're obsessed with disarming you. And why more people aren't creeped out about it, I'll never know. I get being angry or saying no. It should really creep you out how badly they want to disarm you. No, it's not because they all want to hurt you. It's because they all want the freedom to hurt you if you step out of line. No, I don't want to send somebody to your door and throw you in handcuffs. Don't be ridiculous. Well, I mean, unless you don't do what you're told, and then I want to be able to do that if I want. That's really what they mean. That's really what they mean. Remember, when you say things back to Democrats about the guns, and you say things like, well, that's a, what, it's only the criminals then who will have guns, and I won't have any. Yeah, they know. That's the whole idea. They don't want you to have any. That and Joe Biden constantly bragging about how close he is with the communist dictator of China.
Secretary Blinken can tell you, I spent a lot of time with President Xi. Traveled over 17,000 miles with him. Spent, they tell me, over 24 hours in private discussions with him. When he called to congratulate me, we had a two-hour discussion. He's deadly earnest.
That's weird, because I remember Joe Biden, man, it's almost like he accused Donald Trump of hanging out with dictators.
I'll be a president who will stand with our allies and friends and make it clear to our adversaries the days of cozying up to dictators is over.
That's weird. Oh, one final thing, my last takeaway here from the Joe Biden disaster. The border. We have been flooded. We have over 100,000 people a month coming in. And remember, when they throw out numbers like we have 11 million undocumented immigrants, that is a number that is mocked by people who are down on the border. It's way more than that. What's Joe Biden's plan to address the border crisis and all the illegal immigrants in America? Here it is.
If you don't like my plan, let's at least pass what we all agree on. Congress needs to pass legislation this year to finally secure protection for dreamers. The young people have only known America as their home. And permanent protection for immigrants who are here on temporary protective status who came from countries beset by man-made and natural-made violence and disaster. As well as a pathway to citizenship for farm workers who put food on our tables. Look, immigrants have done so much for America during this pandemic and throughout our history.
Permanent protection. Let's see, permanent protection for the dreamers, and permanent protection for, well, anybody whose status ran out, and permanent protection for anyone who came here claiming violence. That's millions of people. And permanent protection for, oh, the farmer worker. It's almost like that one. That almost sounds like amnesty for everybody, just dressed up in different language. It's always the same. Now, last night was the first time I saw the rebuttal to the State of the Union. Again, I know that's not what it was. I saw the rebuttal actually get way bigger than the State of the Union itself. Tim Scott, you know I've had major, major problems with Tim Scott. How many times have you heard me scream about Tim Scott on this show? I thought when he proposed federal police reform in the heart of that cops are the enemy absurdity, I thought that was dead wrong. I think he's dead wrong on that. And because of that, I've never been a Tim Scott fan. And I was 100% ready for him to just dud it up last night. And Tim Scott killed.
When America comes together, we've made tremendous progress. But powerful forces want to pull us apart. 100 years ago, kids in classrooms were taught the color of their skin was their most important characteristic. And if they looked a certain way, they were inferior. Today, kids are being taught that the color of their skin defines them again. And if they look a certain way, they're an oppressor. From colleges to corporations to our culture, people are making money and gaining power by pretending we haven't made any progress at all, by doubling down on the divisions we've worked so hard to heal. You know this stuff is wrong. Hear me clearly. America is not a racist country.
He killed last night. Bravo, Tim Scott. I was ready to be totally disappointed and just crush him today on the show. Oh, he killed last night. Bravo. And of course, as you can imagine, the left started destroying Tim Scott almost immediately afterwards, saying the most awful things. I believe Uncle Tim was trending number one on Twitter at one point in time. And you had people on the right all night long saying, the left is racist. The lefts are the real racist. The left is racist. No, you're missing it. It's not that the left is racist. You're missing it. The left is communist. The communist doesn't actually care about black people. The communist doesn't care one way or the other. The communist doesn't care about women or gay people or the environment or any of the other thousand things the communist claims to care about. The communist cares about communism, period. As long as you, whatever your color or gender or whatever, as long as you are a good little boy or girl, and you will carry the communist message for him, he will be with you. The second you stop carrying his message for him, whatever your color or gender or whatever, you are now the enemy. It's not that they're racist. It's that they're all communists. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? I usually, my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up, or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE. Or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
Now, here's something else you need to know. And pay attention here. If you own a home and you don't have home title lock, here's what you've essentially done. You've taken your most valuable asset. You've taken a suitcase full of all your money. And you've opened it up. And you've thrown it on your front lawn and you went to sleep that night, just hoping and praying that everything works out. That's how much danger your home title is in now. Your home title is online. Not only can it be hacked, it will be hacked because these cyber thieves, they prowl around all day looking for them. When they get it, they take a loan out against it. You have to pay that loan back. Get home title lock so it doesn't happen to you. They will detect the tampering and they will shut it down immediately. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. When you go there, might as well get something free out of it. Don't forget to use the code RADIO. That gets you 30 free days of protection. We'll be back. Last night was supposed to be this big celebration on Joe Biden's 100 days in office. Well, we here at The First Thought, I mean, as long as we're honoring the man's first 100 days, let's talk about the entire first 100 days, not just the packaged, prepared stuff our disgusting communist media wants you to see. Here's Joe Biden's first 100 days in office.
Shirley Jackson Lee, Al Green, Sylvia Garcia, Lizzie Pinelli, Pinnell, and what am I doing here? I'm going to lose track here. And
if we fail to act, there will be a wave of evictions and foreclosures in the coming months as this pandemic rages on, because there's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months.
I think there's a growing awareness that, injecting bleach into your system doesn't do it for you. And I'm being, you know, I mean, think about all the ridiculous thing. And there is online still, there are those who are the, the vaccine
deniers.
When you and I shouldn't say it that way, as you remember, but when you and I talked last, we talked about, it's one thing to have the vaccine, which we didn't have when we came into office.
I just want to thank you both, and I want to thank the former general, I keep calling him general, but my the guy who runs that outfit over there.
I can think of nobody who's better qualified to do this than this is a woman who ran the second largest attorney general's office in America after the United States attorney general in the state of California, and has done a great deal of promoting human rights, but also fighting organized crime in the process. So it's not her full responsibility and job, but she's leading the effort, because I think the best thing to do is to put someone who, when he or she speaks, they don't have to wonder about, is that where the president is? When she speaks for me, doesn't have to check with me. She knows what she's doing, and I hope we can move this along.
But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute. You can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. We call it freedom of speech. From the very beginning, you couldn't own any weapon you wanted to own. Today, I'm proud to nominate David Chipman to serve as the director of the AFT. David knows the AFT well. He served there for 25 years. So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway. And so I'm convinced that we'll be able to stop this, because it is the most pernicious thing. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle. If we do all this, if we do our part, if we do this together, by July the 4th, there's a good chance you, your families and friends will be able to get together in your backyard or in your neighborhood and have a cookout or a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day.
So let me say here that in front of the Chinese side, the United States does not have the qualification to say that it wants to speak to China from a position of strength.
It was a murder in the full light of day, and it ripped the blinders off for the whole world to see. For systemic racism is a stain on our nation's soul. The knee on the neck of justice for Black Americans.
That was tough to watch. And look, that's the first 100 days. What are we expecting for the next 100 days? What can we expect? Well, here's what I expect for the next 100 days. One big legislative push. You saw on that speech last night, they were talking about all these huge things, right? They're talking about guns, and they're talking about H.R. 1 and the PRO Act, and we have to do infrastructure, and we have to do amnesty. Understand this. You don't have endless amounts of political capital. Nobody does. If you're the Democratic Party, you can't afford to do what they'd really like to do, which is just ditch the filibuster and just pass it all and cram it down their throats. You can't afford to do things like that. I think they're going to go after one big thing. That's what you need to watch out for. Right now, they've been just spitting out words against the wall to see where they splatter. I think they're going to go after infrastructure hard. And I think because they know infrastructure is the thing that has the best chance of passing, with everything he talked about last night, that has the best chance of passing, I think they're going to cram as much bad stuff in that infrastructure bill as you can possibly imagine. That's probably going to be a really, really, really ugly bill. There's no way around it. All right. Keep your chin up, though. You know we're going to keep laughing, keep pointing out the good, the bad, the ugly. We're going to keep having fun here on I'm Right. I ain't going anywhere. You don't have to dip forever. You know that, Ryan. You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off. Now, when you watch the news now, anytime you turn on the news, what's sadly a staple? I actually had this thought this morning when I was looking on my phone and I'm going through the news of the day and I'm thinking to myself, man, violence has become so normal. We're almost desensitized to it now. It's so common. Two people killed here, two people killed there. Oh, look, there was another shooting. It's not that far away from you or far away from me at any given moment. It's not optional whether or not you should carry a weapon to protect yourself. If you're allowed to do so, it's something you need to do. And that doesn't mean you just grab anything and stuff it in your front pocket. Take it from me. You need the best gear. You need something custom made. That's Northwest Retention Systems. I don't carry anything unless I'm carrying it with Northwest Retention Systems. Whether it be their best-selling Scout chest holster, I go inside the waistband. They have so many options for you. I even have a join or die custom-made holster for my Glock 19. I do love it. Go to nwretention.com. That's nwretention.com. Use the promo code Jesse while you're there. You'll get 10% off, but don't just carry. Use the best gear when you carry so it doesn't fail when you need it most. NWRetention.com. We'll be back. Joining me now, obviously one of my favorites, is Pastor Daryl Scott, author of the book Nothing to Lose. The man always has something to say. Pastor, first of all, before I even get into Biden pitching American jobs and Tim Scott and everything else, we have the numbers in now, and Joe Biden racking up about 11 million viewers, which is roughly a quarter of what Donald Trump used to bring in. And that's been my complaint all day. He's so boring. And I know it's not his job to entertain. I mean, it's your job when you do, you know, your show to entertain. I have to entertain. The president has to be interesting, though. If nobody's watching, who cares?
I mean, you got better numbers last night when I saw you on television. And listen, I nodded out a couple of times. It was hard for me to focus on Joe. Once he starts meandering and going along and with that dull, whispery monotone, it's hard for me, because of my type of personality, it was hard for me to stay engaged. You know what I actually said? I said, I'm going to have to wait to see what everybody says about this tomorrow, because he's losing me.
Well, maybe his plan was to be Donald Trump, because I saw this from the very beginning of his speech and I thought, what, is Donald Trump back in the office?
These are investments we made together as one country, and investments that only the government was in a position to make. Time and again, they propel us into the future. That's why I proposed the American Jobs Plan, a once-in-a-generation investment in America itself.
The American Jobs Plan, make things in Pittsburgh, buy American, we're competing with China. Is this intentional? Because that sounds a lot like Donald Trump to me.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? He knew Trump had good policy, good legislation, and what he did, he peeled Trump's name off. Or no, you know what he did? He rebranded it. He put his label over Trump's label. But think about it. Joe gave us an indication of this during the first debate when they asked him about health care and about doing away with Obamacare. And remember what he said? He said, I'm going to do it, come with something better. It's going to be called Biden Care. So all he does is try to repackage, because he's a plagiarizer. He's a professional plagiarist. And so he simply takes someone else's idea, tries to repackage it, and put his name on there, put his brand on it.
That plagiarizing thing is real, by the way. The guy's been busted doing this for decades, in case anybody, any viewers don't realize that. I mean, he's been doing this for a long time. All right, Tim Scott. Full disclosure, I'll just get it all out of the way now, because I think you're going to yell at me, which is fine. Everyone I know tells me Tim Scott is a good man. Every single person I know. That is his reputation from every person I know in D.C. This is a good human being. I have big problems with Tim Scott wanting to pass a federal police reform law, and I yell about it all the time, but setting that aside, I thought he killed it last night, and I thought the response to Tim Scott by the left, it didn't shock me at all. The left will use you, whatever you are, woman, gay, black, whatever you are, they'll use you until you step out of line, and then they chuck you in the trash. The ugly response to Tim Scott was not because they're racist, it's because they're communists, and he stepped out of line, and so he had to get chucked in the trash.
Well, you know, Tim Scott, I think you should have clarified his statement somewhat. First of all, you know, whenever I see him, I tell everybody he's my little cousin, since we have the same last name. But I think, you know, when he said there's not racism in America, or America's not a racist country, I'm in agreement with him. I mean, the Declaration of Independence, the founding document that our country rests upon, is a statement against racism, a statement for human rights. All men are created equal. We're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, among those being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America, in principle, as an ideal, in principle, America is not racist. In practice, some Americans are racist. And so when he said, you know, America is not a racist country, he received a racist response. So, you know, America is not racist. Some Americans are, a small percentage of them. But the thing is this, the main ones that are crying racism seem to be the biggest racists, because this outcry came from the left, who are supposed to be the advocates against racism, and they had a racist response. And here's the thing, they somehow think their racism is justified. So you respond to his statement by calling him racial slurs. It's dumb, and it's typical, and you're right, it's communist racism, communism.
Pastor, you and I have actually never had much of a race talk on the show before. We're always riffing on Joe Biden or Trump or something else. But I did want to ask you about that today, since you brought it up when it came to this. How racist are we? Your life experience, you're a 60-some-year-old black guy. I'm 39 years old and I'm white. Your life experience is obviously different than mine. I will tell you, I approach it as this. I think every single human being holds prejudice of some kind in their heart. Tall people, skinny people, white people, black people. Somebody holds prejudice because it's part of our fallen nature. We all do. We all do on some level. What I don't know is how bad are we compared to other places. I've done some traveling to some enlightened parts of the world, and those people are really racist over there. I just don't know how bad it is here versus everywhere else. What's your view on it?
Americans aren't waking up in the morning. Black Americans aren't waking up saying, I hate whitey. The white Americans aren't waking up in the morning saying, I hate blackie. You have situational incidents that people define as racist. But oftentimes, what people define as racial It's not racial, it's cultural. I used to say this during 2016. I said, listen, Donald Trump is not gonna turn his hat backwards, sag his blue jeans, and start bumping rap music to prove he's not a racist. What you're calling racial is cultural. He was a 69-year-old billionaire. How do you expect him to act? He acts like a 69-year-old white billionaire acts. And so people want to deny cultural distinctives and call it racial when it's not. There's nothing wrong with gravitating towards your culture. There's nothing wrong with assimilating in your culture, and there's nothing racist about that. And so what people are doing, they're using this racist term for political purposes, and they're doing it on the left and the right. We have race baiters, race hustlers, race happiness chasers on the left, and we have them on the right as well, and they're doing it for political power or doing it for personal gain. But and what they're doing, they're projecting it onto the masses, and the masses are innocent in that regard.
Pastor Daryl Scott, you always bring it. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate
Thanks, man.
You.
God bless you.
Now, you don't need me to explain to you why it's a dangerous world out there. You don't need me to explain to you why your money's in trouble. I don't have to lay this out for you. Look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. It's a dangerous world out there. Right before that bubble popped in the Great Depression, people should have seen that coming. The numbers were there. We're right there, right now. Trillions in unbacked currency. I'm not telling you to sell everything off you have in the market and get all your money and hide it under your mattress out back in your bunker with a can of beans. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying diversify. Get some gold in your portfolio with Patriot Gold Group. I've talked to them. They are going to take care of you. Make sure you tell them you watch my show. They're going to take care of you. Diversify, please. 866-943-0626. 866-943-0626. Protect yourself. We'll be back.
Please get out. Get out of this property. Immediately get out. Okay. Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out. 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 Out of this property. Immediately out. Immediately go out and don't come back. Out, Nazi. Out. Out. You understand? Nazis are not welcome here. Out. And don't come back without a warrant. Do not come back without a warrant. You understand that? You're not welcome here. Nazis are not welcome here. Gestapo is not welcome here. Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths.
I could just watch that video every single day. And joining me now is the man who actually leads and protects his flock as a pastor should, Pastor Artur Pawlowski. He has already joined me on my radio show. Pastor, I don't understand. Why aren't you just hiding under the pew like so many other pastors when the cops come knocking on your door?
Well, simply because I have read the Bible, and not just once, but many times. And in my Bible, Jesus commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He also says in the Word of God that we are to follow the lion, not a hyena, the lion from the tribe of Judah. We are a pack of lions. And lions never bow before hyenas.
Pastor, a lot of people don't realize your background. They don't understand why there's this guy in Canada fighting against the cops. I don't understand. Would you please explain where you came from and what you saw and why you fight like you fight?
Well, I grew up behind the Iron Curtain under the boots of the Soviets. So those things are, I mean, it's like a repetition of history in front of my eyes. I grew up in Poland hearing the stories from my grandparents about what the Nazis did, what the Gestapo did. And we have to remember that history is teaching us that history can be repeated. Adolf Hitler was democratically elected
And he didn't just invade Europe overnight. It took him over 10 years to implement his plans. And he was using the brown shirts. He was using the Gestapo. He was using the Wehrmacht. He was using people to implement his tyranny. We have to understand that Hitler, there is no recorded incident that Hitler actually shot anyone himself. He was sending those types of people that were just simply obeying their orders, and they did his dirty work. So for me, it's a repetition of history. I've seen the abuse of power in Poland. I've seen the communistic, socialistic party that under that regime, you had absolutely no rights. The police could come to your house, break 5 in the morning, beat you up, torture you, throw you in jail, and there was absolutely nothing you could do about it.
How did you get here? How did you end up in Canada? How did you end up in North America?
Well, we escaped in, my father escaped in 1989, and we joined him a year later. We had to escape on a boat because the government would not give us visas to leave the country. So we hired a boat. We went first to Istanbul, Turkey, and then from Turkey, we escaped to Greece, Athens. And we started a business over there. We were living in 50 kilometers from Athens, Agios Apostolios, a little town, for 5 years. And the Canadian government opened its borders and said, hey, we want people like you. We want young business people. You know, Canada is a wonderful country. No one here will persecute you for your faith. Bring your business, bring your money, bring your family, and start all over again. And that's exactly what we did.
Pastor, what I don't understand is why the West doesn't see the things you're describing, because I've never grown up behind the Iron Curtain. I didn't come from Poland. The Soviets were never in charge of my family. I was born here in America and raised here in America, but I can read history books, and they tell me exactly what it's like. And I do see the correlation, and I explain it to people on my show all the time. You had better be careful, because these people are all 1 inch away from doing that. Why can't the rest of Western society see the things you're describing?
But first of all, we have to understand that mainstream media is completely controlled by the government. It's a government, it's a state media, it's not a free media. And that's exactly what the communists and the fascists were doing. First, you have to control what people are hearing and seeing. And then you have to educate them, but their style, so changing history or not teaching history whatsoever. So you have to occupy the political arena, you have to occupy the educational system, health system, and the mainstream media. And when you got all those ingredients, then you can tell people whatever you want them to believe and see. So people are not educated, and they have been comfortable for too long. They have this idea of saying, this will never happen here, this will never happen in America. Well, it's happening right now, and now the question is, what are you going to do about it? Because the enemy is not approaching, the enemy is not at the gate, the enemy is already within our walls, and now we have to oppose it. So apathy, people were uninterested, they had too good for too long, they became fat and lazy, if you will, spiritually as well, and they just don't want to fight anymore, they got too much to lose. But as people are losing, just like we were losing under the communistic dictatorship in Poland, then they will be more inclined to rise up and stand up and fight. Peaceful non-compliance. Simply, like I say to people, you gotta just say 3 words, really. No, I will not bow before your tyranny. I will not bow before this dictatorship. You have no rights to do what you're doing to me. No, and then get out. No, get out. Get out of my business. Get out of my church. Get out of my home. Get out of our political arena, educational system, healthcare system. Get out, your Nazis.
Why do people inside of it, because I don't believe every single person knows that they're a communist, especially here in America. I can't speak to Canada. I don't live there. I think a lot of these people are simply well-meaning, soft-headed. That's what they've been educated in. And even when they're pushing things like censorship, like closing down a church, I don't think they think they're the bad guy. I think they think they're the good guy. Why can they not see?
Well, you know, it reminds me of the story from Nuremberg after the Second World War, when they were asking those Nazis and SS and those high-ranking fascist. Why have you been doing what you were doing, murdering, creating concentration camps? And they would say, I was just following orders. So people, it looks like after so many years of brainwashing, they don't think for themselves. They just want to follow orders. What I was told by the politicians and the police officers is like, if I don't do it, I'm going to lose my pension. If I don't do it, I'm going to lose my job. I have kids. I got mortgage. I have a life. So I think it comes to a decision. A good man will always try to do what's good. A man that is too comfortable, too apathetic, uninterested in fighting for the truth will just blindly follow the orders of others, thinking that I'm not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy. It's the one that is sending me the bad guy. I'm just doing my job. That's all.
Pastor, are you being threatened beyond what they're already doing? Because people know, everyone saw that video, and a lot of people didn't see. You've already had to throw them out a second time. Are they escalating things on you now, or did they back off? They leaving you alone?
No, I was told that I might be arrested at any moment right now. I received a document, a court order right here. And it's what's fascinating about this court is that it was signed in secret. I had no chance to respond. I had no chance or our lawyers to respond to the affidavits that this document is based on. And behold, it was signed by a judge of a name David Gates. Out of all the people on the planet Earth, the judge has a last name Gates. You can see it. I don't know if you can see it, read it over there, but it's absolutely shocking. You see it? The name Gates? That's the judge in the city of Calgary that signed this document, and it's basically saying that the law enforcement officers can come and use any form of violence against me or any force necessary to subdue me and anyone else in the church. So they sent a SWAT team last time when they came. I chased them away. They didn't even give me an opportunity to read the document. I was surrounded on the left by a regular police officer in uniform. On my right was the gang suppression unit, which is the SWAT team here in the city of Calgary. So it's incredible what is happening. They're using emergency laws, I guess, to suppress, to destroy every right that we as free citizens have. It's incredible. It's shocking, actually.
Arthur, is there anything people can do to support you? I know my viewers are watching this right now. They want to know what they can do to help, but you're in Canada and I'm in America. What can we do? Anything?
Spread the word around, support us. We've hired the best lawyers we can, and you can donate art@streetchurch.ca, art@streetchurch.ca, or our website, www.streetchurch.ca as well. And spread the word around, because this Saturday, we're asking people to come. Let's have thousands of people in that church, and let's stand up for our rights and our freedoms while we still can stand up and fight this craziness. Because be sure of it, they came for me, they will come for you. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Arthur, you are the best. You will be in our prayers, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. Well, it's time to lighten the mood for you. I'm upset. You see, somebody put out this tweet, and it's a picture of this absurd duck, the tallest mallard duck to have ever lived, known as Long Boy. He lives on the campus of the University of York, England. He stands just over 1 meter tall. That's 3.5 feet. It's not that I have a problem with there being a really tall duck out there that towers over other people. My problem is with you. Stop CCing me on that picture and saying, oh, look, it's the Jesse Kelly duck. Hey, Jesse, I found your duck. Jesse, this looks just like you. It's not funny. I won't stand for it anymore. All right. Tomorrow, we have a special, and it's only dedicated to guns. What Joe Biden wants to do with guns, what the Democratic Party wants to do with guns, and why they want to do it. We are going to have a deep dive into this tomorrow, and it's one you should pay attention to. Don't miss tomorrow's show on I'm Right.
All right. I'll see you then.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.